Praise God. You can be seated. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you what, I don't want any rock trying to take my spot. I don't want a rock to take my place in serving God. I want to say, to start with, this lesson is not for everybody, okay? It's not for those that are perfect. It's not for those that have never had a problem. It's not for those that are never been discouraged. I want to talk to those that have had problems. Had said, Brother Kane, it's so good to see you, man. Amen. I tell you, that's awesome. But before I get started, I want to say that in case someone might misunderstand anything I say today, God is a merciful God, and although he's a merciful God, that doesn't give us a license to sin. Knowing that I can fall on the mercies of God. Knowing that God is grace, his grace is great, and we are saved by grace through faith, his grace does not give us a license to sin. And so if anything I say today would be contrary to that, you misunderstood. Jeremiah 18 and verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Today is our Joy's Group's luncheon. Those seniors that been around a while. And there's some here that have been serving God for 40, 50, 60 years. You can go to any of those today and ask them, have you arrived yet? Are you perfect yet? Are you to the point that you don't have troubles anymore? Are you to the point that everything just goes so smoothly and you just never have a problem? Every one of them will say, no, I've not arrived there yet. There's a song that we kind of relegate to the kiddies. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. We're talking about a 5-6-year-old kid. I mean, they've got so much for God to work. Well, now there's a few that. But that might ought to be a theme for us. That's older folks that's been around a while. We see, do sing a chorus, Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. In order for God to work on us, we have to be pliable. We have to be soft in his hands. But it takes a while for us to get to the point that God wants us. And then it could be that he wants something else out of us. And so he works all over again. I read that for a caterpillar to turn into a beautiful butterfly, it takes about 30 days. For a grain of sand to be placed in an oyster, it takes about 7 years for that to become a pearl. For a lump of coal to be turned into a diamond, it takes tens of thousands of years under immense pressure to make that lump of coal into a diamond. In other words, it takes time for a change to be complete. And if you look around at anyone that has been around for any time, we're not perfect. I don't come to church because I'm perfect. I come to church because I'm not perfect. I don't serve God because I'm perfect. I serve God because I'm not perfect. I want him to work on me. But the most beautiful changes usually takes the longest process to arrive, having faith that God's will is right for us, we will continue to endure whatever comes our way. Lord, I've got trouble this week, but I know that you're on my side. I know that I'm in your will. So whatever comes my way, God, I can handle it with your help, by your grace. Having faith that God's will is right for us, we're going to be able to go through any season of life that may come. The gospel of Christ will transform us. Hear me. If you've been serving God 60 years or you haven't started serving God yet, let me tell you, the gospel of Christ will transform us from a lump of clay into something valuable in the house of God. Amen. In the potter's hands, we can become what he wants. It's all about having faith in his word, having faith in his will. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Now, if we truly pray that with conviction, "thy will be done," then we've got to believe that what happens in our lives is God's will. If we pray and mean what we pray, "God, your will," whatever happens, "oh, I just lost my job. Will of God? Can I believe that that was the will of God? Is it the will of God that I lose that job, maybe to get something better? Having faith in God's will and his plan for our lives, we can continue to draw closer to him and be molded into what God wants us to be. But in Romans chapter 6, Paul said, "Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead." When we come to God, we repent of our sins, we're baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. We're not the same person we used to be. And if I yield myself unto God as one that was raised from the dead unto life, then I can be pliable in God's hand. He also said, "To whom you yield yourselves to obey, his servants you are." So if I desire things for me without contacting God and finding out what God's will is, who am I serving? Who am I a servant of? God, move on me. Do something to me. Change me to be what you want me to be. In order to yield myself to God, I've got to obey his word. I've got to have faith in the process that God has for me. Faith is his plan for us. Having faith in his plan. Having faith that he will see us through every trial, through every situation, through every heartache, through every disappointment, every problem that life throws our way. Having faith in his will see us through all those times. You ever had a situation where you just said, "God, I just don't feel you in this. I just don't see you, God. Where are you, God?" Have you ever had that? For everyone that has ever felt broken, for everyone that's ever felt forsaken or alone, for everyone who's ever felt depressed or felt discouraged or felt abandoned, everyone that's ever wondered where God was, for everyone that has questioned God and like the disciples on the ship, "Lord, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care, God, what's going on in my life?" I want to talk to you. It's during those times that our faith in God's will tells us, in spite of what's happening in my life, he's still working on me. He's still working. You know, sometimes we don't like God to work on us. Sometimes the preacher get up and preach a message, and we don't like what he had to say because it's down where I live. Sometimes we forget that God said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." In your deepest trials, in your deepest problems, God is there to take care of you. In today's reading, the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. But the potter didn't give up on it. When you have a problem in your life, doesn't mean God's going to give up on you. Because something comes in your life that is hurtful. Listen, he made it again. The potter did. How many times has God found a flaw in this old boy? And he said, I got to start all over on him. I got to beat him down into a lump of clay and start all over. Listen, he has faith in this broken vessel, or he wouldn't start over every time I have failed or disappointed him. Can you think about that? God has faith in you, or he wouldn't start over. God has faith in you as a broken vessel or a marred vessel to start over again. The story of the potter is very interesting to me, especially, listen, if you get a chance to watch the potter as it forms a vessel out of a lump of clay, look, get on a video and watch. It's really interesting. Our granddaughter, Jessica, got interested in pottery a few years ago, and she got very good at it. In fact, just this past year, she won a state competition for a tea set that she made. It was just a beautiful thing. But I talked to her about pottery, and she said that sometimes you can feel, as you're molding the pot or the vessel, you can feel a flaw, and you can get it out, you can get rid of it. But sometimes she said it's okay, but one side gets a little too thin as she's forming it, and so it wouldn't hold. So she's got to start all over again, beat it down and start again. Many things have to be just right to make that vessel that she's working on. And depending on how deep she puts her hand down in the clay as she's forming it, it will determine how much that vessel can hold. In today's reading, the potter had faith that he could make something out of that clay even after it had been marred. Have you ever been marred since you've been to church? Since you've been serving God, have you ever felt like there's just no hope for you? Listen, the potter began again with the same lump of clay. I'm going to make it different. It didn't work the first time. I'm going to work on it again. We may come to God with many flaws and a lot of excess baggage on our lives. But when we turn our lives over to Him, I'm telling you, God will take us and make us exactly what we need to be. He'll take that baggage. He'll take those flaws. He'll take those problems in our lives and get rid of them, amen, and make us into a vessel that can be honored in the house of God. It may take time to remove these flaws. He's still working on me. He's still working on me. It may take a long time. I may not be a butterfly. I may not be a pearl. And I may not be a diamond, but I want God to put the pressure on me and to mold me and keep me plowed. Sometimes, you know, that clay gets dried out and has to have some more water put on it so it can be molded and be pliable still. Well, sometimes God just let that water of the Holy Ghost flow all over me. God, let that water of the Holy Ghost deep down in my soul so I can be pliable in your hands. It takes faith to trust God. It takes faith to trust God, God's will, and to believe that we are becoming what He wants us to be. When I'm so impatient, I don't want to wait. I want to take care of that situation myself. I want to give them a piece of my mind. Better be careful, you might not have any mind left. But I want to change my way. The change in my life, I want it done on my terms. That's our flesh. Now, come on. Y'all aren't that much different than me. When there's something that needs to be done, I want to do it. Many mistakes I've made in my life by doing this. Just doing it. Without asking God about it. Without talking to God about it. It takes faith and trust that God will handle every situation according to His will. When we take care of it ourselves, we're going to get in trouble. It takes faith in saying, God, I'm giving it over to you. There's the situation. There's the problem. I want your will in it, God. You take care of it. It's hard because I'm still angry. Or I still have jealousy. Or I still have bitterness, or I still have temper. Anybody have temper? Or I'm judgmental. Or I have prejudice in my heart. many things it takes God to remove from our lives because we can't do it ourselves. I can't get rid of my anger. I can't get rid of my bitterness. I can't get rid of my prejudice. I can't get rid of my jealousy. I can't do it. It's going to take God. And for order for God to do it, I got to stay on the potter's wheel. I got to be right there in his hands. Amen. I may be marred while I'm in his hands, but God, don't give up on me. Keep working on me, Lord. Make something happen to me that I can be what you want me to be. Praise God. In our flawed and broken condition, I must put my faith and trust in God that he will deal with the situation. He will deal with our broken and marred lives. He'll deal with the foremost of what he wants us to be. God works on us. God works and he uses broken vessels. Hello. He uses broken vessels. In Japan, they have a way of dealing with vessels that have been broken that they like. They mend it together with gold. Can you see that? Can you read it? The flaw as seen on a unique piece of the object's history, it makes it more valuable to them. And that's the way it is with God. Yeah, I've been broken, God. I have been defeated, God. And God said, I'll take care of that. I got some gold. I got some gold. I can put you back together. I can make you useful. I can make you valuable once again. Oftentimes, we get so discouraged and we get tired and we get beat up or maybe dealing with some sin or shame in our lives and we're just ready to throw ourselves away. Throw me into the potter's field. I'm useless. I'm no good to God. I've been broken. I've been defeated. I've been discouraged. God can't use someone that is a failure. God can't use somebody that's broken. And we may feel that God doesn't care and we're ready to give up. When all the time he said, I just want to try again. I want to try. I want to work again. I want one more chance to work on you and make you into a vessel of honor. We all go through seasons in life, but we've got to have faith that God will carry us through those times, faith that God will refresh us and bring the rain of blessing once again. Think about Joseph. He woke up in prison. Now, that's not a good day. Anybody ever woke up in prison? He woke up in prison. You know where he went to sleep that night? In the palace. Why? How could Joseph have remained faithful? It's because he had faith and trusted God when he was in the dungeon. When everything's going wrong with you, everything's going south on you, trust in God. When everything just seems like it's going to blow up in your face, trust in God. Amen. You might feel like you're in a prison today, a jail of sin and whatever, but trust in God. I'm telling you what, God will take you out of the dungeon and put you in the palace. Praise God. Amen. Many would have given up if they'd gone through what Joseph did. Can you imagine? His brothers hated him. Hated him so much, said, let's kill him. And then finally said, no, let's just sell him into slavery. Loving family. Your family ever turn on you like that? I don't think most of us can say, no, that's never happened to us. But Joseph, you're in a pit. You're going to go be a slave. Finally end up in Potiphar's house. Falsely accused of trying to attack Potiphar's wife. You ever been falsely accused? Now, he went through all of this, and he trusted God. Potiphar said, I'm putting you in the dungeon. From a family of 12 boys and a mom and daddy all the way into the prison. But he trusted God. And during the hard times that he went through, he trusted God. Many would have given up. I'm telling you, many would have given up. The one season, he was in the home of his daddy that loved him. The next season, he was in a pit. The next season, he was uplifted into Potiphar's house. The next season, he was in the dungeon. The next season, he was in the palace. We all go through seasons. It's when we trust God when we're going through the trials, when we're going through the troubles, going through the problems that come our life, and everybody's going to have problems. Everybody's going to have troubles. Everybody's going to have situations. When we can trust God and have faith in His will and His purpose in those times, and we can trust that God's will is right for us, no matter how we might feel, we'll weather the storms. Amen. And He can take our marred, flawed, broken life and make us a vessel of honor. Amen. Listen, if God can have faith in this broken vessel to start again, I'm going to have faith that we're going to perform what He's promised. And He promised He's going to make me a vessel of honor. Amen. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter. I'm the clay. I can't mold me. I can't make me. God is going to take you. David was just a shepherd boy watching his father's sheep, and God told Samuel the prophet to go down to Jesse's house and anoint a new king. So Samuel went down to Jesse's house, said, "Going to anoint a new king? Bring me your sons." He said, "Okay." Here comes Eliab. Oh, man, strong-looking man, tall probably, good-looking man. God said, "No, it's not him." We like to look on the outward appearance, don't we? "I just don't like the way you look." Or, "Man, I like the way they look." We look on the outward appearance. Well, here comes Abinadab. God said, "Not him." Well, all right, how about Shammah? No, not him. And all seven walk in front of Samuel and said, "Jesse, don't you have any other sons? I know God sent me down here to anoint one of your sons." "Oh, yeah, I forgot about David out there." Oh, my goodness. Forgot about your son? Forget about the son that is out there taking care of your sheep, watching over the sheep, killing lions and bears to protect him? You forgot about him? He was going through a season. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. David was just an afterthought of his father. You think you've had it rough? Try being Joseph for a while. Try being David for a while. But after he was anointed king, he was still just a shepherd. And he may have been anointed by God to be king over Israel, but he went back to being Jesse's son that just watched the sheep. He still needed to be formed. He wasn't king yet. He'd been anointed. When I received the Holy Ghost, I was anointed. When I was baptized in Jesus' name, I was anointed to be a son of God, to be a child of God. I'm on the road. Like someone said, I got my ticket punched. I'm just not quite there yet. God, keep working on me. Mold me. Make me what a king and a priest unto my God. Use me for whatever you want. And here is David. He's not there yet. I'll tell you what, I'll get him to play a harp for Saul. Let's get that started. Just a harp player. I thought you're supposed to be king. Well, I'll play the harp for the king. David, man after God's own heart. He fought Goliath and won a great battle. But then Saul realized David was going to be something special, and he went after David. David had to run. He was hiding in a cave. Doesn't sound like a king to me. "Brother Keith, you're not there yet, man. You're not there. You're going to have problems. You're going to have problems on your job. You're going to have troubles. But God can form. Trusting in the will of God to form us the way He wants us to be." But this didn't sound like an anointed king. So far, he's running from the king that's on the throne. He didn't even have an army. He had nobody. 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1. "David, therefore, departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him." So here comes David's family now, you know, the ones that really kind of relegated him to just a shepherd out there in the field. Now surely he can get things going to ascend to the throne, right? Verse 2, "And everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there with him were about 400 men. Doesn't sound like David's season was getting a whole lot better. This the starting of his army didn't sound like a great thing. Look at these men, distressed, in debt, discontented. And this was his army? This was the beginning of his kingdom? When we first come to God, we're like those men. Come on now. If you're not discontented with your life in the world, you probably won't turn to God. If you're happy living a sinful life, you probably won't turn to God. But if you're distressed, if you're distraught, not perfect, listen, we may be troubled and we may carry a lot of baggage, but that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. That's just the start. That's just the lump of clay for God to work on. And when you turn to God, you come to God, that's all we are, is a lump of clay. And God begins to work on us. There's not a day goes by that I don't need God. I've been serving God for many, many years. And I've had problems. I've had situations. But there's never been a day in my life that I have not needed him. There's been good times. There's been bad times. But through it all, I need his hand in my life, guiding me, directing me, encouraging me. I need God. After all these years, I still need God. I can't make it today without God. Praise the Lord. If God has enough faith in this broken vessel to put his spirit in, come on. If he has enough faith in this broken vessel to put his spirit in, then no matter how marred or broken I may be, I'm going to have faith in his purpose. I'm going to do my best to stay on the wheel and let him mold me, let him make me what he wants me. I don't see tomorrow. I don't know what the future is going to hold. I don't know what's going to be next week or next month or next year. But I do know that there trials will come. Circumstances will come my way. But my faith says, have thine own way, Lord. Have your way. Whatever's going to happen next week, whatever's going to happen next year, Lord, just let it be in your will. Guide my footsteps, Lord. Let your word be a light unto my pathway, a lamp unto my feet. Let me follow you. Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:11, said, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, I'm going to be contented. I'm going to be happy. Whatever state I am in, Florida, Georgia, no. On the mountaintop or in the valley, coming out of a messy situation or going into a messy situation, I'm going to be contented in knowing that my God is in control. When I allow God to have his way, I'm going to find peace and contentment in the face of the storm. When the winds are blowing and howling and the waves are beating against my vessel, I'm going to have faith in him that he's going to step out and say, peace, peace, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. It was known that David had a great army, and many scriptures referred to the mighty men of David. Let's look at some of these men who came to David. In 2 Samuel 23 and verse 8, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. Now, this is just three. Adino, he slew 800 with his spear. I wonder if he was one of those discontented that came to David at first. Eleazar fought until his hand clave to the sword. He couldn't even put it down. Won a great victory. Shammah defended a bean field and beat the Philistines. I wonder if any of these three were in that first group of discontented. A few weeks ago, I talked about prayer warriors. Listen, there are some warriors in this church. There are some mighty men of David, as it were, in this church. If you just hang on to that will of God and trusting in the will of God. So often we're like those who came to the cave of Adullam, troubled and perplexed and persecuted, cast down and all that. But this vessel we dwell in may be broken at times or be marred in some way, but God doesn't give up on us. You make a mistake, God said, I'll keep on going. Oh, but Lord, I just don't deserve you. Ever say that? I don't deserve you, Lord. I don't deserve your blessings. I don't deserve to be in your presence. I don't deserve, none of us deserve anything like that. But he's willing to work on us to get us to be a place where he can say, there is a vessel of honor unto me. Praise God. My God does not give up on us. Praise God. We may give up, but God never gives up. When we're faithful to him, no matter the circumstances we find ourselves in, we can say, have thine own way, Lord. And God can make us a mighty warrior for him. David understood the process. David had faith in God's mercy and knew God would start over again. After he had sinned, we know the story. Now, David was, the Bible says, a man after God's own heart. But he sinned. He committed adultery. He committed murder. We can't forgive that. Hello? We can't forgive that. There's so many things we can't forgive. We just can't let that go. I want to hang on to that bitterness. I want to hang on to that anger. I want to hang on to that. He went to God in prayer. He was basically saying this, keep working on me. Make me what I ought to be. These are his words in Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. In other words, keep me on the wheel. Do the work of the potter in me. Put your hand deep into me and remove everything that would mar me. Those things that Paul called the works of the flesh. I'm going to close in just a minute. But Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Listen. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. In other words, God, make me a vessel of honor you want to be, and fill me with the joy of thy salvation. Get those things out of my life. God, deliver me from the idolatry. Deliver me from witchcraft. Wait a minute, I don't have witchcraft. How did that get in there? Stubbornness is as the sin of idolatry. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. I just don't believe what you said, Brother McGuire. I rebelled against that. I just committed witchcraft. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. That's a prayer I pray every day of my life. Oh, but did you do anything bad yesterday? I don't know if I did. I don't remember if I did. If I did, I certainly repent of it. But I pray every day anyway. God, keep working on me. Keep working on me. Keep working on me. Keep cleaning up my heart. Keep cleaning up my mind. Keep cleaning up my spirit. And renew a right spirit within me. One season, David was a shepherd. And another season, he was a king. One season he was a failure in sin, and another season God said, there's a man after my own heart. Wow. As surely as I can't use God's mercy as a license to sin, neither can I rely on my flesh to fix my problems. I can't do it. I can't get rid of these things on my own. I will only mess up if I try to fix it myself. But when I rely on God, I rely on his mercy and his grace, he will see me through every situation, trial, and problem in my life. There's a little secret in serving God that I'm going to tell you about that probably would help us all. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. Well, there you got it. There it is. That's the secret. That's the answer. Just don't sin. But John knew we're just flesh. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. We should not sin, he said. But if we do slip up, we become broken, we have an advocate. He is the propitiation or the atonement for our sins. Paul described the child of God that serves him through all these things. And let's turn to 2 Corinthians, and I've got it close. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure, or the Holy Ghost, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's all about God, folks. It's his victories. It's not our victories. If we gain any victory, it's because of God. It's the power of God working in us that attains any victory we get. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Yeah, we have our problems, but we're serving a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. Yeah, distressed, yes. Troubled, yes. Perplexed, yes. Persecuted, cast down. But we got a God that lifts us up. Carries us through all that. When the potter puts his hand inside the vessel he's forming, he makes room for the vessel to hold something of value, whether it's water or tea or juice or whatever. But when God puts his hand down inside of us, he shapes us and makes room to hold the most valuable thing in the universe, his Spirit. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to close with this. Paul, speaking to Abraham, said, or speaking of Abraham, in Romans 4:20, he said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to also to perform. Thank God. Amen. We can trust God. We can believe God that he's going to mold us into what he wants us to be. Amen. Let me just say, God uses. He has faith in marred and broken vessels. Amen. He uses vessels that others would throw away. You just don't fit the scenario of a good apostolic. Uh-oh. God turns a vessel, or he creates a vessel of honor out of some of the most, what was his name, Charles Mahaney? Jailbird. Became one of the finest preachers of our generation. When I look back through the scriptures and see who was considered heroes of faith, I realize that they all had to be formed and reformed. Noah was a drunkard. First thing he did, grow some grapes and get drunk. Jacob was a deceiver, a liar, a conniver. Moses, well, he's always making some kind of excuse. I just can't do that. Get somebody else. I can't do that. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab, here we go, the harlot. We don't want no harlots around here, do we? She's in the heroes of faith. She's in the lineage of David. She's in the lineage of Christ. Don't tell me God can't change you. Don't tell me God can't mold you into something that would be honorable to him. Because I'm going to tell you right now, God can do anything. Look at Peter. I don't even know who he is. Denied Christ? Saw the miracles, walked on water? No, I don't know who he is. And yet, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost the message that caused 3,000 to be saved. Praise God. Lord bless you. Let's stand and let's understand. God is not done with us. He's...